when the problems really are these macroeconomic ones, problems of policy, problems of global capital, it seems like there should be macroeconomic, governmental, institutional solutions. And you so often see in these in your book that, you know, the NGOs, the government policies that are intended to alleviate some of the problems that these people are facing are just leading to more corruption or aren't actually benefiting anybody.
Mm. Well, I mean, part of the problem is that we don't take anti-poverty policy seriously. It's the idea that the gesture is enough, that it doesn't, you know, that the most important thing is that the politician can stand at the podium and say they're giving the grant for education. But I think the really important thing is whether education actually reaches the people in these poor communities. And so for me, I think it's really important that journalism and academia create a better feedback loop from poor communities, because I believe, maybe I'm too optimistic, but I believe that there are a lot of conscientious policymakers and philanthropists out there who really want to improve their policies, to serve people better, to even out the playing field, to include more people in the meritocracy. So I believe that if they only have better information, maybe the policies will become stronger, and maybe more of the immense intellectual possibility that we squander on this planet will be given wing. I believe that, and don't tell me if it's not true.
And what do you think the role of the journalist is in making that happen?
To spend the time, to invest the time in those communities, listening to people, and to bring that information to the table, to become part of the national conversation. Too much of what we understand about what's going on in poor communities is based on what sort of the equivalent of what Hollywood calls the God shot. It comes from on high. It comes from statistics. But there's a great deal of what's happening in this world right now that can't be captured by statistics. And then officials either have reasons not to tell you the full story or don't know the full story. So I think, you know, I don't think the kind of reporting that I do and that I advocate is the only worthwhile reporting to be done in poor communities. But if none of the reporting has that perspective, has the perspective of the poor, and you know, is done from the vantage of poor communities, we're really not going to know in the long run why policies succeed or fail. All too often, we blame social policies failures on the mental and moral capabilities of the poor, when in my reporting, what I see more and more and more is that the essential failure comes at the level of the powerful.
One thing I think that's really fascinating about your particular approach to these issues, and that I think is so compelling, is that in your book, you present a bunch of different characters as compassionately rendered, fully dimensional characters who are complex, have complex motivations, but yet they also, at the same time, many of them become kind of symbols of broader trends, you know, in Indian culture and in global culture.
Right.
And I guess, how do you sort of approach that balancing act of not wanting to make someone into a metaphor?
Well, I think, first of all, that there's a long history of, in journalism, of rendering low-income people as two-dimensional, you know, these cardboard saints or villains. And so my own work, I'm really fighting against that because what I feel in my reporting is that the people that I'm meeting are every bit as complex as I am. And so it's my job to bring the reader that complexity, in large part because I want the reader in a place like Colorado Springs to have a relationship with those people that's deeper and more respectful than that of pity. The people in Anahuasca aren't looking for pity. They're looking for opportunity. But at the same time, I think that not all stories are created equal. And I'm not looking to tell the most outlandish or sensational tale. So when I choose the characters that I write about in the book, one of the things I'm doing is to be able to convey the immense diversity that exists in a slum. So you have everybody from a teenage waste picker to a person who becomes the first female college graduate in the history of the slum. But I'm also looking at stories that help illuminate something about the structure of a society or of an age. In the end, because my work is also investigative, I want to be doing my best to present the facts that might possibly, possibly make things better for more people than the individuals who are in my book. And by bringing to the reader a sense of what's really going on in the public hospitals or the public justice system or the municipal education system, But how do you get the reader engaged in those structural issues? I think that they also have to understand the complexity and the possibility of the lives and the balance.
While you were in Anawadi and following these people, were you ever tempted to intervene in cases where you felt like you could, when someone is, you know, or did you ever intervene where someone is maybe, you know, can't afford a meal for their family, or in the case of Abdul and the Husseins, when they're being wrongly accused of a crime that they didn't commit, and police officers and officials from the judicial system are trying to extort money out of them. Did you ever feel like you were in a position to try and speak up for them in those particular instances?
No, I mean, I think that one thing that tends to get exaggerated in the United States is how much influence somebody like me would have in the workings of criminal justice. For instance, I'm sitting in the courtroom every day during the course of their trial. The judge doesn't care who I am. I would be sitting in the police station and they would be viciously beating a mentally ill person so that he would scream, so that his brother in Chennai would be compelled to pay a lot of money to rescue him. So it wasn't as if people were seeing me and turning to me saying, you tell me the real story and let me fix this. Even though everybody knew I was a reporter, they weren't particularly interested in my input. Where I do get involved as a reporter is, you know, if there's a moment unfolding of violence that I can do anything to stop, I will do what I can to stop it. But in the end, I'm not writing a story about myself as Lady Bountiful coming into a slum and helping people. And that I'm one of the things that I feel quite strongly is that there have been too many stories like that, and that in most of the world's difficult places, low-income people are bettering their lives using their own judgments and creativity. And what I see my role is trying to document their ingenuity, their creativity, their imagination, and honor that by watching what they say. It's not automatically assuming that I have a better way and that I can solve their problems, because in many cases, they're the real geniuses.